going on, y'all? It's Mike. Welcome back to another episode of the Professional Dependent Podcast. To everybody out there on YouTube and Spotify, if you're watching the video, really appreciate you. Thanks a lot for tuning in. This week, we've already talked about PCS tips and tricks. We've talked about OCONUS PCS tips and tricks. So what are we going to do today? We're going to talk a little bit more about PCS. We're going to kind of go through the processes a little bit more individually. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite things when we PCS, the PCS purge. If you've moved before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Whenever you've been somewhere for a couple of years, you just accumulate stuff. It just happens. You get into a house, you have an empty space, you end up putting stuff in it. So now you've got your orders to PCS. You've already decided we're going to do a partial ditty, full ditty, whatever, or we're going to have the movers move you all yourselves. So what does that PCS purge look like? What does it really entail if you've never done it before? For us, it involves making a list. We go room by room and we say, okay, what in this room are we just no crap getting rid of? I'm not talking about hugging it and seeing if you get any special feelings from it. I'm just talking about you look at something and you go, yes, we need that. No, we don't. I personally like to make, I don't like garage sales. I'll tell you that now. I despise garage sales. Not that I don't like people. I like people a lot. I just, the thought of having to get all that stuff set up, having people try to negotiate with me over the, a quarter for a towel and they want it for 10 cents. I know Gary Vee loves garage sales. I personally can't stand garage sales. I would rather find something on Facebook Marketplace and just buy it and be done with it. But if you want to have a garage sale, you find all the stuff you want for a garage sale, set it in one area. Maybe that's in your garage, maybe that's in your office. I don't recommend your living room at all because that's a big communal space and that would be kind of terrible for everybody if everybody had to kind of walk around stuff all the time. But make piles, make lists. If you want to have a garage sale, you've got bigger items, you can make a list. Okay, we're going to garage sale. We've got two vacuums. We're going to garage sale a vacuum. We've got three ironing boards. We're going to garage sale two of the ironing boards. Stuff like that. Or if you have bicycles that your kids have outgrown and you don't want to move those bicycles, sell the bicycles. Again, I personally skip the garage sale. I either just put the big ticket items on Facebook Marketplace and donate the rest. Because that's what I like to do. I'd rather donate it and get the tax write off or just donate it and be done with it. So that's what I would recommend doing. I would recommend, once you know exactly how you're moving, start going room by room, decide how you're going to get rid of stuff. The one that's hard for most people, the one that I find I have a hard time with, is deciding what to keep. It's not so much deciding what to get rid of, because I can get rid of a lot of stuff really quickly. My other problem, though, is I have a hard time not keeping stuff. I have books that we have moved every single time that are from when I was a kid, partly because I know if I get rid of them, my mom will be super mad. And if she's still alive, but if she were to pass away and I got rid of those books, she would haunt me for the rest of my life. But it's books that I read when I was a kid, my girls read when they were smaller, and I have a hard time getting rid of those. Those have a lot of sentimental value. That's the stories that I have shared with my kids, and that I hope that one day if they decide to have kids, they'll share them with their kids. One thing that I know is really difficult for military families are collectibles. People like to collect things. I like to collect things. The only thing I've been collecting lately is bourbon, and I've been drinking that, so it's not really a collection. But I like books. Books are really high on my collectible list, and I have a really tough time getting rid of books. Books are heavy. They take up a lot of space. And most people say, well, you only read a book once. And that's not necessarily true for me. I've read almost every book that I have multiple times. Matter of fact, I've just started reading a new book now, which is kind of, as much of a nerd as I am, it's really embarrassing that I'm just now reading this book. But I just picked up the Robert Jordan Wheel of Time series. I can't say I picked it up. A buddy of mine bought me the book series because we were talking about how I've never read it. And he thought I should read it. So he bought me the book series, like the entire series. It was super dope of him. But anyway, so that's now 10 books that we just added to my collection that I, even if I'm done reading them the first time, I'm going to keep them, and that's stuff that takes up space. Another thing that you need to look at whenever it comes time for deciding what to keep are your hobbies. I mean, think about that one. Like, that's stuff that you can collect a lot of stuff for without really realizing how much of it you're collecting. I really got into 3D printing about a year ago. Was having a lot of fun with it, 3D printed a lot of stuff. 3D printed Halloween decorations. I 3D printed keychains. I 3D printed stuff for my kids. I 3D printed all kinds of stuff. And then I kind of just stopped. I was having some issues with a couple prints, and it stopped being fun because there was stuff I was wanting to print that in my head I could see exactly what it was that I wanted, but I didn't give myself enough time to learn the CAD software, the computer-assisted design software, to be able to make it myself. So for me, I lost a lot of fun with the 3D printing because I was having to just find designs and then download and print those, and I was really wanting to make my own stuff. But the process from going to my brain to the 3D printer wasn't working out for me, so it stopped being fun, so I got rid of it. And that was something that I was really enjoying, I was having a really good time with, and I got rid of it. The other thing that I like to do is, and this is going to sound weird to some people, because if you can see me, you see how I look, I don't look like the kind of person that would enjoy this stuff, but I like crafting. I have a vinyl cutter. I've got a sewing machine behind me. That's one of two that I have, and I'm probably going to get another one after we move so I can have an embroidery machine. I enjoy it. I like sewing. I've made pajama pants for, the dreaded family matching Christmas pictures. I've made pajama pants for my family. I've made with my vinyl cutter, I've made shirts for my kids because they saw a design. They're like, "Hey, cool, I want that. Can you make it?" And I was like, "Absolutely, I can make that." And it's honestly a really cool feeling for my kids to be like, "Hey, Dad, can you make this for me?" And me be like, "Yes, I can, absolutely." So I made them shirts for Halloween. I made our, again, the dreaded matching Christmas photos. I made the designs for those. So it's something I enjoy, and I like sewing. The sewing is really cool because I can find a pattern or trace out a pattern or something and then put it together, and then that's something that I made. I've made a couple pair of pants for myself, and they've been a lot of fun. So I tried to make a jacket for my daughter, like a hoodie, and that was a little bit more than I could chew, and I still tried, but it definitely did not work out super well. So, but then I've also like fixed my kids. Like, my daughter wants to wear this dress for the daddy-daughter dance that's coming up, and the strap was broken. I was able to fix the strap. Anyway, so that was a really long tangent to say I like to sew. The people at Joann's almost know, pretty much know me as soon as I walk in. That's really weird. But that's obviously stuff that I want to keep. However, with that, I've got a lot of supplies that go with my crafts. I've got a lot of sheets of vinyl. I've got the vinyl cutter. I have got a closet over here that is full of fabric. So I need to go through that. That's part of this PCS purge. I want to go through that. Like, okay, what is this? What in here is actually usable? What is just a scrap that I was hoping to use later? What just needs to go away? Stuff like that. I did a dog bandana business for about a year. I was having a lot of fun making bandanas, but it just got to the point where I was making more money off of the dog leashes than the bandanas, but parts were getting hard to find that I actually trusted, because I don't want to just buy some crappy little clip and your dog go to pull on it, that clip break. That wouldn't sit right with me. So parts were getting hard to find. So in order to even make a leash that was going to be profitable but still good, it was going to cost me more than most people can go out and buy their own leash for. So, and who's going to buy that would basically be a designer product at that point. And I was making that a climbing rope. Why? Because climbing rope is functional and it's relatively inexpensive and it's not going to break. So anyway, that was more of like a designer product, but I quit doing it. And then when I quit doing that, I shut down the website. And so now I've got a bunch of dog bandanas. The plan is to donate those to a shelter. We're going to go volunteer at a shelter this weekend. And the plan is to donate those to the dog shelter because dogs look amazing in bandanas. If you have a dog and you've never put a bandana on your dog, you're doing yourself a disservice. And if you have a dog and you've put a bandana on it, I'm telling the truth. Dogs look awesome in bandanas. So Anyway, so I've got a giant tote full of bandanas. Because, again, I was having a good time making them, and then I stopped doing it, so I've got to do something to get rid of those before we move. But that's going to the donation pile. Clothes is a big one. I basically collect t-shirts, not on purpose. I just really like t-shirts from this one certain company. I don't know if I can say it without it being considered promotional. They don't pay me. I just really like their stuff, but Death Before Dishonor is one of my favorite t-shirt companies ever. Plus, they sponsored a powerlifting meet of mine, and I told them that I would forever be a customer. So this is not a paid promotion for them, even though if you want to send me a free shirt for talking about you, I'll gladly take it. I love the shirts. But I've got a lot of shirts. So going through your clothes, going through your kids' clothes. My kids have more clothing than anybody really realizes, because as fast as they grow, if you're not constantly going behind them and being like, okay, well, this doesn't fit you anymore, this doesn't fit you anymore, next thing you know, their closet's just full to overflowing with stuff, and you go into it and half of it doesn't even fit them anymore, and they haven't worn it in a year and a half, 2 years. That's what we're kind of finding out. We go through and we're like, okay, this doesn't work, this doesn't work, and you grab something like, well, I haven't seen you wear this in forever, and you realize that it's because it doesn't fit anymore. Or the thing that really gets me going is whenever you buy something for them at the beginning of the year and then your kids grow like freaking maniacs and something that you bought 2 months ago doesn't fit anymore because they won't stop growing. That's every parent's favorite thing, right? Your kids go through like 4 pair of shoes in a school year because they just won't stop growing. My 10-year-old's in a size 8 in women's shoes. I'm really hoping that her feet are done growing already. Because those are just expensive, and I'm really not looking forward to her getting bigger feet if they do keep growing. You didn't need to know about my kids' feet. Just forget that I said that. Anyway, so you got to figure out what you're going to donate. Again, kids' closets are the big one because they have more stuff than you realize. If you or your spouse like to shop and y'all like to buy clothes, go through your stuff. If you have something that has been in the closet and you haven't, and you look at it and you think to yourself, when was the last time I even wore this? Just get rid of it. I could probably get rid of half of my clothes because I wear the same 7 shirts, especially since I got laid off. I don't have to wear, you know, button down shirts and polos anymore until I find another job, which won't happen until after we PCS. But, you know, you could go through and you could thin stuff out. You know, I could probably pare down. I have a hard time getting rid of shirts. But I've got one whole drawer that's full of shirts that I almost never wear. And I could probably get rid of all of them and be fine. Because I've got another drawer that's full of these shirts. And I wear them all the time. So, you know, stuff like that. Like, look at it and go, when, you know, am I going to wear this again? Do I just have it because it's nice? Like, I've got a couple shirts that are from my powerlifting gym back in Arkansas that I like to support them. And I have a hard time looking at that shirt and going, I'm not going to wear this very often. Should I just get rid of it? I feel like I'm not supporting them if I do that, which is really weird because they get all my support. I mean, my coach is there and I pay them every month, or I pay him every month. So it's not like they're not getting my support, and I talk about them all the time. It's just weird. Like, I have a hard time getting rid of stuff, so I have a lot of shirts. Socks. Go through your sock drawer. You know, do you need 15 pair of dress socks? If you have, I personally like socks too. And it's, I know I'm different, y'all. Just bear with me. But do I really need, you know, all those different pairs of socks? Probably not. I don't. So you can go through all this stuff and, you know, you can donate it, you can give it away. I don't know why that just stopped recording again. Anyway, I keep losing video. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know. If you're watching on YouTube, welcome back. I guess I got to figure out what's going on with the... It didn't die. It just kind of stopped. It's weird. Anyway, let's go through your stuff. Like, my wife and I, about a month ago, we went through our kitchen and we got rid of, because we had all these cups. So we pulled every cup, every coffee mug, every shaker bottle, because I had a boatload of shaker bottles for protein and pre-workout and stuff. we've got all that stuff out. We got all of our, like, my beer mugs and beer steins and pint glasses that I've been collecting over the years. And we went through all of them. And some of the ones that they, if they did not have a specific memory attached to it. For example, we kept a beer stein from Alaska, from the Air Force Ball in Alaska, because that's the one we went to. And I had two of them. I got rid of one, so I kept one. I kept my Oktoberfest giant beer stein from Barksdale, because that was our first base. And I kept, basically I kept one mug from each base. If I got a mug there, I kept a mug. And then as far as the glasses and whatnot, if they didn't have it, if I looked at it, I was just like, it's a beer mug, I got rid of it. Because why am I keeping it? I mean, I don't have that many people over here. I really don't drink beer like that. Like, I don't have beer on tap at the house, which would be really cool. It'd be really cool to have a kegerator. But I don't really drink beer like that. So they're just up there collecting dust, so I got rid of them. excuse me. Grab some water. But we got rid of so much stuff. A lot of those, what we did was we washed them, and then we took them to Airman's Attic and donated them because they were clean. They were perfectly fine, and somebody else could use it. You know, there's people out there that maybe they do have a kegerator at their house, but they don't want to go spend $5 on a pint glass, so now they can go to Airman's Attic and get one for a dollar, or however much they sold it for, I don't know. That's stuff that I could probably have sold at a garage sale, but again, I detest garage sales. They're not my jam at all. But so the next thing we're going to do is we're going to go through our closet. We've already gone through the kids' closet. That was a chore, and I think we have to do it again. I think it was so bad the first time, we had to take a break, and we're going to do it again. And then the craft room. We're going to go through the craft room. We're going to figure out what to do with all the fabric and stuff that I have saved up. This box that some of y'all can see behind me, that's got to go. And the one that I'm really not looking forward to is the garage. The garage can be a pit of despair if you are a Princess Bride fan. Our garage is not the greatest, but I use it all the time. That's where my gym is. So that's where all my gym equipment is. And I have been collecting specialty bars lately. I just bought a new bar to help me squat because my shoulder's all jacked up. So I bought a bar that changes my hand position so I can squat without hurting my shoulder. I bought a deadlift bar because that's what the federation I competed in, that's what they use. I say competed because I haven't competed this year, and I'm probably not going to be able to compete until after we move, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, and then I've got a safety squat bar because it changes stuff anyway. Y'all don't care about powerlifting. And if you do, I've got specialty bars. And I think I have a video on YouTube where I did like a quick tour of my gym. If you want to see a more in-depth tour of my garage gym, let me know. If you're on YouTube watching this, I will show off my garage gym if you want. I personally love my garage gym. But I also share that space with my daughters. Both my daughters have been doing gymnastics forever, and we have gymnastics stuff. We have an inflatable tumble track that gets stored in the garage. We have a fold-up beam that they can practice some stuff on, and we've got a bar, and we've got some mats. But then we also have a deep freeze and bikes and camping equipment, stuff for the bikes. We've got so much stuff in the garage, and if you're not careful, it also just becomes kind of a catch-all, because that's also where our recycling goes and all this, that, and the other. So we've really got to go to the garage and like just go through it and figure out what to do with stuff. There's probably some stuff from the kids that doesn't fit them anymore. There may be, you know, elbow and knee pads that they've outgrown that we haven't seen because everything's kind of just jumbled in there. If you have, like, we have inflatable kayaks, so we need to take those out and make sure they're not dry rotted and stuff. We did test them out at the beginning of the summer. They were fine, so I think we can actually skip that because they were fine. We did use them at the beginning of the summer, right before my wife left, so we're good to go there. We've got you know, my daughter has a tent, we've got sleeping bags, all that fun stuff, coolers. So check on that stuff, make sure that it's still functional. If it's broken, get rid of it. If it's broken and you can fix it and you actually want to use it, always recommend doing that. I replaced the air conditioner on our camper with a YouTube education. I watched a few videos. saw that it was super easy, and it took most people that I watched the videos for, it said it took them anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour. I always anticipate it taking double because I like to take my time, make sure I do it right, because I only want to fix it once. This actually only took me about 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes. It took no time at all because it was only 4 bolts. I've got a little video on YouTube where I talk about how long it took to actually do it, but it took about 20 minutes. But yeah, that's really it. You got to figure out what you're going to keep, what you're going to get rid of. Again, I'm not talking about picking it up and holding it and seeing if it makes you feel a special kind of way. Talk about, be honest with yourself. Make a list. I like lists because they help me stay on track. So make that list. What are you going to garage sale? Do you have a bunch of stuff that you're like, okay, this is not stuff that I really want anymore, but somebody does want it and some of this stuff is valuable? Like, do you have a bunch of electronics? Like, that you're looking at going, I need to get rid of this stuff because we've had it for a little bit. It's still relevant electronics. Like, maybe you've got like 4 or 5 iPods because you lost them and then you bought a new one and then you found the ones you lost. Stuff happens. You know, iPods are still kind of a hot commodity because they quit making them, but people still want them. So maybe you want to sell those. Maybe you are like me and you have, 2 sewing machines and you're like, I only need the one. So you could set up a garage sale and you could sell some of that stuff. Again, me personally, I just rather donate it. So if you're going to take the donating route, just get everything gathered up, put it in boxes. If it's clothing, put it in trash bags and then take it to wherever your chosen place to donate stuff is. I like taking stuff to Airman's Attic because I feel like it's kind of helping the community that I support. I mean, Airman's Attic is, they sell stuff for really cheap. I think some days they even have where you can go in and get free stuff. So I'd rather support younger airmen or, younger officer airmen younger officers that have families that maybe need stuff and they're struggling. So that's kind of where I like to donate stuff. And then figure out what you want to keep because we can't keep everything. Y'all know how it gets whenever you have a bunch of stuff. Like me, I cringe when I start thinking about how many books I have. Because the very first time we moved, this is no kidding, I went through and I had four, I think it was four bookcases completely full of books. Just completely full because I never got rid of anything. And I knew that where we were moving was, so we were moving from Baton Rouge to Maryland and we were moving into a townhouse. So I had to make a really difficult decision for me about what books to get rid of. So I made myself a promise. I went through, I kept every first edition and I kept everything that was in a series. And the ones that were in a series, I only kept the ones that I actually really enjoyed. And I got rid of 4 really pretty good sized boxes of books. And I still have, there's a bookcase over there. There's 2 bookcases downstairs. Cause I mean, obviously I like to read, so I've collected more books. We have a whole bunch of books. I don't know who that is. Somebody just called me. I have no clue who that is. Anyway, they'll leave a voicemail. My apologies. Usually I don't have my phone in here while I'm recording. So anyway, figure out what you're going to keep. I like to keep books. I've got some bourbon glasses that I picked up from whenever we went on the bourbon trail when I was competing in Kentucky. And I got a few things like that. So the other thing that's really tough that you want to keep, if it's sentimental, maybe if your folks are still living, you want to have your folks keep it. Because let's face it, you have something that's pretty sentimental to you, you don't want it to get broken. And we all know that that is a chance that's going to happen. If you have the military move you, pretty good chance it's going to break something. Or that chance is higher than normal. Or if you're like, no, I want to collect this, I want to keep this. Or if your folks are no longer with us, then maybe that's the stuff you move yourself. So we always do a partial ditty. The stuff that we are like, no kidding, do not want to get broken, that's what we move ourselves. And a few other things here and there. But for the most part, if we're looking at something going, if that broke, it could either A, never be replaced, or B, I would be absolutely crushed and it's too expensive to replace, or you would just be crushed because, it may not be something super expensive, but let's say somebody really special gave it to you and he's got a lot of sentimental value to it. And if it got broken, you'd be upset. Maybe that's the stuff you keep. And you just move yourself. So have those thoughts. And that's really about it. I really can't think of anything else that needs to go with this. That's how I do the PCS purge. That's how we do it. We go through, we make a list of stuff we want to keep, donate, sell. And it, if it doesn't fit on the keep list, just get rid of it. Try and rip the Band-Aid off fast. Don't sit there and get super emotional about it. Just, or get emotional about it, but just do it and get it over with, because you got to move and you've only got so much stuff that you can take with you. And like us, like we're thinking about downsizing in our next house. So we're trying to get rid of more stuff because we've got a lot of stuff. People, we, America, I don't know what it is about us just as people in general. We just love to collect stuff. And I'm really trying to break that cycle. And it's hard. It's hard when you like to collect stuff. It's hard to break that cycle. But anyway, sorry for rambling a little bit. Wanted to talk about, maybe give you some ideas about PCS Purge, what that looks like, how you can do it. And that's really it. It's super easy. Just go through it, make a list, get rid of stuff, and just be careful of the stuff you want to keep. Make sure that it actually means something to you, or make sure that it's something you can't replace, something like that. Anyway, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it, and we'll talk to y'all later. Bye.